change, though.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get a new number, 904-205.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, because everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, because ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
Policy.
Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free.
I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is the Big Picture with Brother Melvin Siri Jr. If you are listening online at this particular time and would like to call in, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Also, if anyone's interested in contacting us, you can do so at the Panther Party 1966 at gmail.com. If you're interested in becoming a member, you can also contact us at the same email address, thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. I'm trying something a little different tonight with my radio broadcast. I'm actually live on the Panther page as well. The Panther Party, the People's Party. So if you happen to be watching live online at this particular time as well, you can call in to listen to the broadcast. And if you feel like commenting, speaking, getting something off your chest, just press the 1, and by pressing 1, I will see you in the host queue, and I will open your mic. Like I say, just trying something a little different tonight while I'm doing my radio podcast to try to get the people on the page a little more involved I'm going to go ahead and jump into my topics for tonight. Last week on the show, I talked about a case that's happening here in Texas, in McKinney, Texas, case involving a young man, Marvin D. Scott III, who was arrested in Collin County, McKinney, Texas, which is a suburb just north of Dallas. He was at a mall in Allen, Texas, and he's diagnosed with schizophrenia, and done a little more reading and research on the case, and from what I read, his family said that he hadn't had an episode in about a year. He hadn't had any types of episodes, but this particular day, he was at the Allen Mall and began having a schizophrenic episode. So during this particular episode, a security guard at the mall smelled marijuana on him and called the police. And long story short, they had dealt with him before and taken him to a mental hospital. Well, they arrested him and took him to a hospital this time, but the hospital discharged the young man, and they discharged him. The police came and picked him back up, put him back in custody, and while in their custody, the young man, 26 years old, Marvin D. Scott III, he lost his life. And at this particular point, seven of the people who were on duty that night have been laid off, but the case is still pending. I'll try to, you know, to the best of my ability, keep y'all updated on that particular case. Last week on the show, also, I spoke about Bolton John and Tatiana Jefferson, a lot of other situations. Kind of wanted to give y'all an update. This past Saturday, here in Dallas, Texas, they renamed a street after Bolton John. I kind of got mixed feelings about it. And right now, also here in Texas, they have a bill that they're working on passing called Bowes Law, which, you know, I got mixed feelings about that as well, because in my opinion, Bolton John never got justice. The time that Amber Geiger will serve will be minimal, at least. She got a 10-year sentence, and I don't think she'll serve any more than 5 years, and she'll be back out and able to monetize the tragedy, because there's probably going to be a book deal, there's probably going to be a movie deal, and a lot of more offers that she'll get after she's released. In the Tatiana Jefferson's trial is slated to start this summer. There's so many tragedies and circumstances that are, you know, still in the forefront. I want to kind of touch on this Derek Chauvin trial that started today. I was off today, so I kind of tuned in listen to the opening statements and listen to the witnesses thus far. And honestly, I got mixed feelings about this whole situation too, because in my opinion, it's an open and shut case. I mean, honestly, what's going on right now, they're going through the motions. They are just like in the Botham Jean case. I felt like all they did was go through the motions. You know, 10 years is a sentence. Yes, it's more than what we normally get, but let's just be honest, it's not enough. I constantly say, you know, in order for us to get what we really and truly deserve, it's going to take us sticking together. Peace, Brother Raymond. Actually doing my radio broadcast, and I decided to log in and actually do a few minutes of it live here on the page as well. But yeah, just trying to cover a few subjects. But this Derek Chauvin trial, like I was saying, it's just another case of, like I say, going through the motions to kind of quiet the masses, because the reaction to the George Floyd murder and the Breonna Taylor murder really did send the country into an uproar, into a state of riot, you know, and rightfully so. If we don't come together and stand together, we won't we won't make any progress, and these murders will continue to happen. And the thing about that is, our coming together as a people, and when I say as a people, I'm talking about as a like-minded people who are working together, who are trying to flip the system, because the system is the problem. The problem can be fixed, but it takes us coming together and staying together so that we don't have to witness any more situations like George Floyd, Ahmaud Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Tatiana Jefferson, Breonna Taylor. We can stop that. We can stop that from happening. We can curb the injustice by simply coming together and staying together. My brother, to my knowledge, we don't have any chapters in Canada, but there's always room for growth and room for addition as well. Now, I'm hoping that I was listening to the witness, to the first witness especially, the 911 operator, who actually was so disturbed by what she saw that she called called the police supervisor. I don't know if any of you tuned in and saw that, but that in itself, if a 911 operator, and then it's just a good thing that they were where they were at, because there was a, you know, a working camera that allowed her to watch and see what was going on. And if you all were paying attention, she said that she thought the camera had froze because they were still, you know, pretty much positioned the same way. So, yeah, for that to happen, that in itself is enough for me anyway to give a verdict of guilt. There's not really much, like I say, that in my opinion, that this is just a waste of time and money. And it wouldn't be, had this been, like, for instance, in Minnesota, there was a, I think the cop was Somali, but of brown skin. And this happened about 2 or 3 years ago when they were called to a residence. And when they arrived at the residence, a white lady came out. And when she came out, the Somali policeman shot the lady. And it didn't take them 2 years to have a trial. It didn't take them 2 years to convict him. And it didn't take them 2 years to sentence him. He's doing time right now. And this happened in the same state, mind you, that the Derek Chauvin trial, George Floyd, Minnesota. And I can't remember that policeman's name, but he wasn't black. I want to say he was Somali, but he was brown-skinned. And there's another case that's going on right now as well. I was just briefly reading over it. But the situation that happened, there was an undercover cop back in 2017 who was undercover working the riots and ended up getting beat up by some police. He was in plain clothes working the riot, like I say, undercover to, you know, be in the mix of the crowd, and if anything was to happen, you know, he'd be right there undercover. But before he was able to do anything, he was approached by some of his own who didn't know that he was a cop working undercover, and he was beaten up. I'll have to go back. I'll have to revisit that article. But what I'm saying, I'm making that point to say that, you know, being a cop is a choice. And when you choose to be a cop, you know, I mean, it's a choice. It's not like you're born a cop. You choose to be a cop. So that's a profession, just like I chose to be a truck driver. It's my profession. It's what I chose to do. So, you know what dangers what dangers entails that job. And being a policeman, yeah, it's a dangerous job. True enough, I don't take anything from it. And at the same time, it's a choice. It's what you chose to do to make a living. It's what you chose to do to feed your family. So do it professionally, because there have been too many instances here of late where we're seeing it. They don't need training. I get so tired of us singing that song as well as all the other songs that we sing after these circumstances happen. And when these circumstances happen, it's not time to march and sing. It's time for us to continuously be in a mode of a plan of action. I saw something yesterday here in Arlington where I stay, and there's a block about maybe a mile from where I live. There's a vacant lot. And on numerous occasions during Trump's last days, there were a lot of people who gathered on this empty lot who were supporters of Trump. Long story short, on yesterday, I'm on my way home, and I see about 100 people gathered once again in this empty lot with their Trump flags, American flags, and Make America Great Again hats on and all of this. So I'm saying that to say this, brothers and sisters, we need to stay in a constant mindset of self-defense. We need to stay in a constant mindset of plan of action. We need a plan of action, not just a reaction to what continues to happen. Whenever we come with a proper plan of action and stop all the talking and stop all the marching and singing and actually start putting some things into action, the condition will change. Until we come together and remain together, though, we'll continue to suffer, and we'll continue to see the George Floyds, the Tatiana Jeffersons, and the Ahmaud Arbery's, and there's more to come as long as we stay divided. And that's the whole game plan, is to, yeah, keep them divided, keep us divided, and keep us at each other's throats. Keep that racial divide going. Keep everyone distracted from what it is that we're doing so that they don't do anything that's prosperous. See, because it's time to ahead. It's time to think ahead. We've got to stop thinking and about the weekend. We got to start thinking past the weekend, period. It's time for us to start laying foundation. It's time for us to start building something we can leave. It's time for us to come together and demand what it is we want. And then we don't need much. Truth be told, if we start working together, we don't need nothing, nobody. But our refusal to unite, our refusal to build together, our refusal to work together, our refusal to respect each other, love one another, take care of one another, is working for the systemic oppression. Self-genocide eliminates the... It doesn't require white society to even be active in it when we're actively doing their work, when we're actively killing one another, when we are actively not building. And see, the sooner that we build together and start revitalizing, rejuvenating our neighborhoods and start working together as a unit, then we can start to demand things. Once we put our funds, our economic power, because that's where our power lies, in our money, and we hate to part with our money, but parting with your money for a better tomorrow is always worth it, in my mind. And like I say, it's time for us to think more business-oriented, build businesses so we can give our children jobs, so that we can pass them down what they need and they don't have to sit back and wait on a system that's going to constantly lie to them, constantly promise them things that they're not going to give them. And it comes a time when there's no need to continuously beg when we have the ability to correct a lot of our own problems. And it all starts economically. I'm not trying to sound like I'm not asking you for money. I'm just saying it all starts with economics. And the sooner that we realize the power that we possess economically, we can put that power to work for us and stop letting it work for the system. Because that's what we do. Whenever we go and spend a dollar with somebody, with someone who doesn't look like us, whenever we go and spend a dollar with these corporations that don't even really want us in there, we're supporting systemic oppression. We're supporting and enabling George Floyd's. We're enabling the entire Tiana Jeffersons. We're funding our own oppression. We are giving them the power that they need to keep their knee in our neck. And if we were to take just 1 year, just 365 days and buy black, shop black, and if you can't, just put your money back in your pocket and start getting with, like, my, I know that I'm not the only brother that's business-minded. I know some of you watching and listening, you know, have probably been like me. And my quest to get this trucking business going, and it hasn't been easy. But persistence pays off. But it shouldn't be that hard. And I had to do a whole lot of digging and scratching, and I'm still really not done digging and scratching. I got a couple of more steps to make. But it's so hard for us to get funding. A lot of us have great entrepreneurial ideas, have great business ideas, and actually have great business minds. We just don't have the capital. And that's where practicing group economics come in. That's where practicing buy black comes in. Because then we can pass the wealth around. We can share the wealth. And then, too, it allows us to give our children opportunities. It allows us to give them a chance to dream and hope. And then, too, when they see it being done, they'll become more interested in it themselves. Because these children now want to see things being done. They don't just want to hear about them. We were the listening generation. This generation now is the show me generation. And the sooner we can get our shit together and start showing the younger generation the path, we got to show them the path. We've got to show them how to fight systemically. We've got to show them how to unite and work as a unit. We've got to show them how to build. And if we're not doing it, who's going to show them? We cannot continue to feel as if this system is going to give us something of value, because this system has never given us anything of value, and honestly, this system never will give us anything of value. They know that if the playing field had been level from the beginning, we would be well ahead of them by now. And the reason that we're never, reparations as far as money is never talked about, is because they know, this is my opinion, and some people may not like me after I say this, but I just feel like if we get monetary reparations, a lot of us will just blow that money and won't even put that money to work for us. And that's really what it's time for us to do. We got to put our money to work for us like everybody else has put their money to work for them. You know, stop putting in a dollar and expecting $10 back instantaneously. You have to give that dollar a chance to make another dollar and make another dollar. And then you can sit back in your rocking chair and enjoy life legally. And it's time for us to get there, because we've got a strong generation of intellectual, wise minds coming up. And we've got to give them direction. We've got to give them the proper tools And economics is one of those tools. It's one of those tools that unfortunately a lot of us didn't learn about until we were grown. And a lot of us didn't really learn about credit until we were grown. And those are things that we got to teach our young people. We got to teach them, first of all, we've got to teach them unity. Unity. We've got to rebuild the village. Teach them self-respect and to not be ashamed of who they are, because we have a rich culture here in this country. We have a very rich culture here. We have a rich culture, period. And we are very intellectual people by nature, by design. We are a creative people. Look at what we did back in the late 70s, the creation of hip-hop. And that generation is still here today. That's the generation that I was in. I'm a 69 baby. I saw the 70s. So that generation was a generation of intellectuals, a generation of creators. And that generation is still here, and it's time for that generation to grab back a hold of the reins and create a new normal. I keep saying that because right now with this coronavirus, I was actually in Florida last week for about 3 days on the road, and I saw license plates from every damn state in Florida. Florida was a hot, packed mess, and every facility that I went into, people were not wearing masks. Every business I went in, nobody had masks on. Nobody is taking it serious. And I was reading just the other day where the CDC has said that it is not even 100% proof that taking that vaccine will keep you from getting the virus. Help me understand that. Why are we in such a rush to take this virus? I mean, to take this vaccine. And viruses are in a constant state of mutation. And then when you don't have the cooperation of the people who are within the pandemic, when you have people who are not wearing masks, who are not practicing social distancing, who are still having mass gatherings, nothing's going to change. And then, like I say, I was watching the news just a few minutes ago before the show, and it's bothering me because I'm seeing so many of us rushing to get this vaccination, not knowing, not remembering the past, and not knowing what's in this vaccine. 9 months, people, this vaccine comes into play. 9 months. In 9 months. And just let that sink in. Even with the flu vaccine, it took them years to develop that vaccine. And now you telling me that 9 months they have a vaccine that is, and the thing about it is there's still so many unknowns about these vaccines that are out. And I'm not trying to deter anybody away, but I'm just saying think first and just continue to be safe and practice social distancing and wear a mask. And we're clean people by nature, so just continue to practice hygiene and staying away from the large crowds. I mean, I want to see us flourish and I want to see us here, but I'm not trusting that vaccine. It's still, like I say, too many unknowns. And like I say, from what I was reading, even the CDC has said that getting the vaccine does not mean that you cannot still get the virus. So we have to be vigilant and start, like I say, working as a village again, you know, being concerned about one another's well-being and making sure that we're all right. And there's nothing wrong with practicing pro-blackness There's nothing. Stop letting people shame you into feeling like something. You're a racist because you practice black first. No, everybody practices what they are first. Hispanics, Asians, white people, every race does it except ours. We go to war with one another. We fight with one another. We don't take care of one another like we should. And like I say, that's why we continuously see these situations. If we were to put our boots on and lock and load and truly fight our real enemy, we could change shit. But see, we'll go to war with Jamal and Ray Ray down the street. In the meanwhile, it's still a knee on our neck because killing Ray Ray and Jamal ain't fixing shit in the community. It's only making the community worse. And that needs to be fixed as well as other situations. But our unity is a must. If we don't unite, we're going to continue to be everybody's doorstop. We'll continue to be that, you know. So we've got to work on self. I actually said this on a sister show that I was on a couple of weeks ago. And like I told her, we have got to sweep around our own front porch like the old folks used to say. You know, we've got a clean house. We know what's wrong internally. We know that we don't work together. We not uniting like we should. And then we have so many distractions. Let's talk about that for a quick minute, and then I'm going to take a break here. But we've got so many things, you know, like I say, working against us and not in our favor. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We've got to learn, like I say, how to put aside our small petty differences, because that's what they are, small petty differences, and start to think about the bigger picture, truthfully, the bigger picture, because that's something that we don't do. We give everybody the benefit of the doubt except each other. We're willing to work with everybody except each other. You know, and it's just, why can't we see? I mean, like, we always want to include everything. Let's just take the Asian situation. Everybody's running to assist the Asian, but ain't nobody running to assist us. Nobody's worried about us. We're not worried about us. So, I don't know. You know, it's just so much that we need to work on. It's so much that we need to do, and it bothers my spirit that we're not there yet. You know, it's just so much that needs to be done, and it's going to take all of us. I mean, and we all have a part to play. Some of us feel like, oh, there's nothing I can do. Or some of us even feel like, well, it's not that bad. It's better than it used to be. It is. Nothing's changed. The same song that, you know, the same things that our ancestors were fighting for, we're still fighting for. And take a look at what they did in Georgia. Look at what they did in Georgia to the voting rules. You can't even give people water or food now without possibly being fined or jailed. They rolled the bill they just passed in Georgia rolled the Voting Rights Act back to Jim Crow era. And see, we all know why that happened, because Georgia came out and Georgia was the state that actually got ratchet ass out of office. So, you know, like I say, we just not ready in the way that we need to be. because we've got to be united. We've got to be willing to work together. And we're not doing any of those things right now. Without doing any of those things, those are essential, basic things that need to be done in order to build and in order to grow. And if we can't do those basic things to build and grow, we're going to remain stagnant. We're going to remain in a place of stillness, and we'll keep receiving the same that we receive now, which is nothing. And like I say, we can fix that. You know, we can stop that from happening. We can change that condition. And like I said earlier, if we take just one year, and remove our money from their system, we can start creating our own system. And then we can start to control our own economics. And see, that's what it is that we need to start thinking about. See, and that's why you don't see Asians and other ethnicities really talking about the vote, because the vote don't matter. Like I say, look at what they just did in Georgia. And see, that's because they can fix that however they need to fix it. And that's the deal with their laws. And that's the reason why we need to stick together and remain bonded and jailed and unified, so that when bullshit arises, we're already ready and we can take action. Because we'll have a plan of action, and there'll be enough of us to make some shit change. And that's the problem. We got these different groups. Like I was going to say a while ago, we've got all these distractive groups. Black Lives Matter, distractive group. Me and some of the brothers, when they first came on the scene, already kind of understood what that movement was truly about. And anybody that's been following that movement is not about Black Lives Matter. There's still police killings happening right now. Where have they been? Where have they been? Not saying that we're everywhere either, but you have to at least be vocal. And with the money, and see, that's the thing about us. We don't take money. We haven't taken money from anybody. People don't just give us money. We really pocket our own expenses. Nobody volunteers to help. Nobody volunteers money. Black people in parting with money. Black people be talking about revolution but won't part with their money. You got to have funds. You can't fund a revolution off of hope and dreams. You got to have money and economic ability to fund a revolution. And we too tight with our money to do that. We won't even help each other. And then, like I say, we have these distractive groups like Black Lives Matter, Not Fucking Around Crew, these kind of groups that pop up out of nowhere overnight who are taking us on the wrong path. And I'm not knocking nobody for their lifestyle, but Black Lives Matter is not a black movement. Black Lives Matter is a LGBTQ movement, period, point blank, nothing more, nothing less. They're in it for the money. They trademarked the name. They were going to sue the people who painted Black Lives Matter in the street in Washington because they used that name. They trademarked the name, so that monetizes it. This movement has to be about money, but also this movement has to be about unity and black first. If it's not about black first, it's not about nothing. And these particular organizations are at least Black Lives Matter has made over $100 million. They say like $90 million, I think, is actually more. I heard once said it was over $100 million that they have accumulated. And that in its I'm glad to see Mike Brown's dad do what's right and open our eyes actually a little more, because I still would hear people, you know, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives. We know that. You don't have to say that. And like I say, look at, you got to follow the money. George Soros, who helped them get the group started. When you're dealing with devils, you're going to be doing devilish shit. And then when you're funded by devils, you'll do what that devil says, or you'll go back to being the same broke ghetto person that you were before they put their money into your movement. And that's why it's important to make sure that you keep your movement pure. Make sure that you keep your movement about the movement and about the people. Because as soon as someone comes in and drops a large sum of money, they want to be in control. And see, that's why I say we don't really need to work with anybody but ourselves on this. We don't need any outside influences. We, the brothers and sisters, we need to work together. We need to start putting our money together, because, see, white people don't put money into nothing that's not going to give them money back. So this Black Lives Matter movement is all about money now. It's all about economic power, and it's all about them still being able to control the narrative and how Black Lives Matter moves. That's why you haven't seen Black Lives Matter speaking out about any of these other cases after George Floyd. You haven't really seen them en masse like they were out en masse on last summer. It was about the money. It was about building that brand. And now they've trademarked the name. So, I mean, Black Death, everybody's profiting off of Black Death. Everybody profits off of our pain, our intellect, our words. Everybody gets rich off of us except us. And that's why I say it's important to put our money to work for us so we can fund our young people and stop letting this system snatch them up and give them crumbs. And we'll be able to build some true generational wealth. How many times have the music industry, perfect example, hip-hop. Look at how at first hip-hop was just white people didn't want nothing to do with it. This and that, it ain't going to be around. It ain't this, it ain't that. But it's still here. And look at how many of them threw their hand in the pot because they saw the money that was being made, and then they understood the money to be made. And then you have so many of those artists that were putting out some of the best music ever in history who don't even own their masters, who don't even, in other words, they don't even own their own fucking words. They don't even own their own thoughts. They sit there and they build a beat and they put the song together. They don't own none of that. The company does. And we have saw so many artists. Right now, Anita Baker, another one of our talented artists, and she's right now fighting for her masters. Matter of fact, about a week or so ago, I heard she had put out a message and asked people to stop streaming her music, kind of in the same way that Dave Chappelle asked people to stop watching his show on Comedy Central, because he didn't own it. And that's the thing. We have put out so much, and we don't profit off of it, because we don't take our, we don't feel like we need to take our money and fund it. And the sooner that we take our money and fund our thoughts, our ideas, our intellect, we can build some generational wealth, because we got a generation behind us that is smarter than we were. It's a very smart generation behind us. They need guidance. They need direction. straight up, period. So I know I've said a lot, I've touched on a lot. I appreciate everybody that's tuning in here live on the page. Also, I appreciate everybody who may be listening to the show online as well. I am about to take a break. Those of you who may be listening here on the page, I am live on air. You can call in and be a part of the conversation. The call-in number is 914. I put it in the comments, 914-205-5538. I'm going to take a quick break here on the show, and I'll still be live with you all. Those of you who are listening online, please feel free to call in. You all got the call-in number. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can press 1, and I will see you in the host queue, and we'll definitely open up your mic and let you be a part of this conversation. Like I say, it's really, I haven't really talked about anything specific. I'm just talking in general. I started out the show speaking about the Marvin D. Scott III situation that happened here in Texas, McKinney, Texas, actually. And those of you who may not know McKinney, Texas is the place where the young black kids was having the swimming pool party, and you saw the policeman that tackled the young sister in her bikini and arrested her. That's McKinney, Texas. McKinney, Texas also, a few months ago, there was a young sister. There was a sister that was found hanging in her garage. She had a white roommate, a white gentleman roommate. The coroner said her body was hanging in that garage for 2 to 3 days. And let that sink in. But this is McKinney. That's McKinney, Texas, just like any other state across this nation where blacks are expendable and black death is profit, because black bodies are worth millions on the market. You got to know this kind of stuff, and then you'll know why they are so dead set on controlling us. They want to be us. They hate us because they ain't us. Anyway, y'all stay tuned to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello. We patterned our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that E-U means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave. And the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of you within, start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make it, and they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire, in Quest for Fire, you saw, but they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones who go, sign language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman. Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right, peace, power, and love, family. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seery, Jr. Appreciate you all tuning in tonight. Those of you who may be listening online want to get involved in the conversation, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. I'm going to be on for another few minutes before calling it a night. I'm actually doing something just a little bit different tonight by including the Panther Party, the People's Party page. I'm actually live on the page tonight while I'm doing my broadcast. It's the first time I've ever done that, but since I was not in the truck tonight and at home, I figured I'd try something different and try to get some of the brothers and sisters involved in the conversation, because this is the thing. We got to talk, people. We have got to talk. If we don't talk, you know, I hear people, all this talking and all this and all that. It's time we at war. We in this and we at that. Okay. And I want you to understand that I do understand. We are in a state of war, no doubt. But you can't fight back. What boxer gets in the ring without training and planning? See, and that's what the problem is with some of us. We ready to get in the ring without no training, without no plan. We just ready to fight. And you cannot be just ready to fight. Yeah, I'm ready to fight too. But see, you have to have a plan of action. You can't just go out there and think you're going to conquer the world by yourself. And you can't go out there and think that you're going to go out there and conquer the world without a plan of action. Period. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And we've got to take the time to discuss, organize. Like I always say, plan, organize, unify, my three keys to our success. A nation will follow, because if those three steps, we are in the process of building a nation without even knowing it, just by taking those three simple steps. And like I say, I get tired of people on the rah-rah all the time. Everything don't have to be kill, kill, kill. And I said this, we take our money from them. We don't even have to fire a shot. We kill the monster by taking 1 year shopping black, buying black, supporting black, building black. We build our own economic base by doing that. See, and it take a lot of us to be on the same page to make that happen. And see, then we can start building the schools and educating our own kids. We can have our own hospitals. We can have our own scientists to make vaccines that are for our bodies. Because that's why I don't trust this whole vaccine thing. We were talking the other day, me and some of the brothers, and we're not ready for revolution. See, and we're damaged people. Admit it. Yes, we are a damaged people, and we have got to be willing to, like Pac said, heal each other and be real with each other. It's time for us to love each other. We need each other. I'm going to throw that in because I haven't said it this show, and that's my new little catchphrase that I said I'm just going to start saying it during every radio broadcast, during every live. I'm going to let it be known that we need each other, because the subliminal, I want it to sink in. It needs to sink in. Because with all that's going on around us, the last thing that I would think we would be as a people is collectively disunified. With all the death that's happening around us, I would think that would bring us together to a point where we would stay together and make that shit stop, make it change, because it is evident that it is not going to change until we do what it takes to make it change. And we can depend on this system, this vote, because that vote ain't never changed nothing. The only times that things have changed for us is when we came together collectively in numbers and made things change. Like I say, our ancestors have left us one hell of a blueprint, and it's time for us to pick it up, blow the dust off of it, and revise it for 2021 standards, because we are in a state of war. And, yes, it is time for us to defend ourselves and fight back in a proper way. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally and intellectually, spiritually. All of that comes into play. Economically, all of that comes into play. You know, so we, like I say, we've just got a lot of work to do, and we've got to get started doing it. If we don't get started doing it, we're going to continue to see our genocide. We'll continue to see our genocide internally and externally. We'll continue to be blamed for all of the fault that's in this country. And isn't it ironic that everything that's been done by the Caucasian, we get the blame for? We were the vest for? We're characterized as they have done? Because never in history has any black organization got together with the ideology of, let's go hang a bunch of white people. Let's go terrorize some white families. Let's go burn down some white houses. Let's go loot some white neighborhoods, because they rich and got stuff that we don't have. It's not in us. We ain't never done that. As many organizations that have been in this country, black-oriented, none have never, ever just got together and without provocation just went and killed up some white people. Now, they may have been provoked into, there may have been groups, and there have been groups that have been provoked into defending themselves, but never were those groups or organizations put together with the entire premise being, we're going to terrorize white people. That's not what any of those groups were about. And I saw a post, and it was like, white oppression is about control and power, and white power is about control and power, and black power is about unity and peace. And that is a correct statement, because all we have ever come together throughout history, all we've ever come together in hopes of achieving is for them to leave us alone and let us live in peace. It's like that's the only two things that we've ever asked this country to do, and they just can't seem to do it. And then whenever we do get off somewhere to ourselves, like Slocum, Texas, Greenwood, Tulsa, Oklahoma, like Elaine, Arkansas, whenever we do get off to ourselves, like Rosewood, and build and start thriving, what has always happened? You know, they come in and they destroy it. And that's why I say, yeah, we have the capability. There have been several blueprints made and laid in the past for us to follow. You know, it's one thing that I do realize as I grow old, and I can remember my grandfather and my great-grandfather saying this, the world don't do nothing but go in a circle. I'm like, well, yeah, it's turning, but what they meant, I get it now. The world just repeats itself. It constantly repeats. The styles repeat themselves, the hairstyles, the dances, the clothes, everything just repeats itself. Goes full 360. And see, in that repetition, change should happen. Yeah, the world keeps going around and everything repeats itself, but racism, it's time for us to stop that repetition. And it does keep going around just like everything else does. And we control, we have the power to control that. We have the power to stop that. That's all I'm saying. I mean, that's all I'm saying. So, you know, I'm just trying to give y'all some things to think about. That's the only reason I get on here. I get on here because I love my people. I love me. I love who I am. I love who we are. I love what we could be. And what we could be is so much more than I think any of us even fathom. I don't think any of us really truly think about what we could really be if we bring our minds and bodies and spirits together and start working together as a unit, as one. Like I say, I know a lot of strong individuals, but see, if I can bring them together, I can move some things. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a bunch of us strong individuals who are not afraid of the fight, who are not afraid to speak out, and who are ready for change to come together on some of this power to the people, for the people. Because that's what everything should be about, the betterment of the people, the betterment of your surroundings, the betterment of the conditions for our children, the ability to give them back hopes and dreams. Straight up. And we've got to be the providers of that. We've got to be the providers of that. We can do this. I've never been one to say what I can't do unless it just defeats me, and nothing much has ever defeated me. Nothing much has ever defeated me. We are not quitters. We are resilient people. We keep reaching till we get what we want. We want freedom. Let's reach for it together. Let's reach for it as a unit. Let's work together for this. All I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And it gets repetitive. It's redundant to where, you know, it's just like, what is it that's going to wake us up? What is it that's going to put us in action? What is it going to take to make us work together, to make our condition better? You know, and that's the question of the decade. But I know one thing, the sooner that we start working towards it, we'll find the solution. And we'll find the recipe. But as long as we stay separate, we're going to remain separate. And we're going to keep suffering. And I hate to see us suffering, period. I hate to see anyone suffering. But I'm truly tired of seeing us suffer. Because we've suffered more than any other ethnicity here in this country. Here in the hells of America, we suffered more than any race. But anytime something happens with any race, well, everybody is all gung-ho to fix it. But ain't nobody gung-ho to correct police brutality. Ain't nobody trying to give us justice. And like I say, we ain't even trying to give us justice. Yeah, it's just really disappointing, disheartening sometimes, because I want so bad for us to have, you know, we have been a part of the have-nots for so long, for too long, for long enough, and I just want to see us be able to live and move how we like to move. And I made a video a few weeks ago and I was talking about, you know, it's time to stop rolling and start a float. Because we've been rolling with this system And this system has not been rolling with us. This system has been rolling over us, but this system has never rolled with us. And we sit and we continuously roll with this system, and we wait for this system to give us what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, put us where they want. When we possess the ability and the power to move how we want to move and not how they want to move us. And that's why I say we can stop rolling and start our own flow. Because what did I use the example? I said some of us are going this way, some of us are going that way. We're creating a whirlpool, and ain't nobody getting sucked up in it but us. See, when we stop doing that and start moving in the same direction, flowing in the same direction, changes the whole dynamic. No more whirlpool. Oh, we got to flow now. And that's what we got to do. We got to create a flow. Like I said, water flowing through a mountain is what created the Grand Canyon. Water, a liquid. And we can be liquid, but we can create a flow, and we can move mountains. We can change the dynamic by simply creating a flow, our own flow. Stop rolling how they roll us. All I'm saying. So, you know, I just want y'all to think about that. Just keep that on your mind. Take that with you all week. Keep this in your back pocket all week. Try to start your own networks where you at in your own cities. It doesn't take a leader. We see and know what they do with our leaders. So I'm not necessarily, we should not be looking for a single leader per se, because we should all be practicing leadership. See, and I try to surround myself with leaders, not followers. I like to be around people. I know if my left leg give out, well, I'm with a leader, and we already got a plan on how to keep things moving. That's what you got to do as a unit. When one person may have a shortcoming, well, it's somebody else to make that whole. And that person that's making it whole is not trying to make that person who's not quite whole feel bad about it. See, just because he ain't able to do what you able to do, don't make him feel bad about that. You build him up to where he can do what the hell you can do. That's our problem. A lot of us don't like to even give the knowledge to the next person. The game is to be told, not sold. That's my motto. Tell it so we can get out of this damn hole. And a lot of us get the information and set on it. I'm going to share it. I'm going to tell the world. Cause I'm ready for us to be fixed. I'm ready for us to have some things. I'm ready for us to experience true freedom. True freedom. And we ain't never experienced that. And I bet my grandmother said the same thing about me. I bet her mother said the same thing about her. And here we are, still right here, still going through the same motions. So now we have to see how many of us are willing to make a true sacrifice, because true sacrifice is giving us something that you appreciate in order for someone else to enjoy appreciation as well. You know, we've got to learn how to give up a little of what we got so others can have a little something too. And that all comes with unity. That all comes with wisdom and growth. Because, like I say, not one single person has the ability to fix what's wrong with us as a whole. It's going to take all of us collectively working as a whole in order to fix the whole and be able to correct one another. And like I say, be able to show respect and be respectable. Like I say, don't beat nobody up because they don't have what you have. Help them get what you got. That's what we have to do. Stop being so envious and so jealous-hearted of one another. And start being more concerned about one another's well-being because we are all we got. And if we don't start helping each other, showing concern for one another, well, don't you see ain't nobody else going to do it. And I'm just really, like I say, watching this little trial and hoping that there is a righteous outcome. And I mean, we are hopeful people. I can say that. We are a hopeful people, and nothing much has deterred us from remaining hopeful. We just sometimes put our hopes into the wrong things. You know, we put our confidence in the wrong people, and we expect people to be as righteous in spirit as we are. We expect people to be as empathetic in spirit and compassionate in spirit as we are, and it's just not the case. That's why we were put here first, because the Most High knew what he had in us. He had a resilient people. He had an intellectual people. He had an empathetic people. He had a compassionate people. And we are all of that, just not with each other. Look at how, like I say, look at how this Asian situation has come about. And I see more of us coming to their aid than I've seen of them coming to our aid. And then the thing about that whole situation is I just can't forget Latasha Harlins. I'm sorry. I can't. And I can't forget about the riots when they were just, and I know these were Koreans, but they were just openly shooting at any black person that got close to their stores. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, but see, you didn't hear people talking about, oh, you got us anti, you know, ain't nobody ever gave a damn about our death. Black death is profitable. Everybody profits off of our death. Like I say, our organs, our skin, the melanin in our skin even, valuable. We are a walking asset, honestly. As black men and black women, we possess things that people want, that people care for. But we won't unify. And just imagine that. Why is everybody after what we have? And then we don't even appreciate what we got. We don't even appreciate each other. That's why I say we got to get back to basics, back to the grassroots of this thing, back to where you a man, you're loving your woman, you're respecting your woman, you a woman, you appreciating your man, you're giving the, where we just rebuild our whole image and go back to our grassroots, because we had strong families back before this system got involved. Our families were not plagued with divorces and disunity. Our families thrived. Our families built. Our families had culture. Like I said earlier, we have a rich culture. We got to appreciate that. Realize where you come from. Realize what kind of blood. You got divine blood flowing through your veins. Understand that. Understand that. That makes you different. That makes you hated. Because everybody wants what we have. Everybody wants that true connection with the Most High that we have. Why do you think they painted their Jesus white? Because they didn't want, you know, they don't want the truth to come out. And then how can you control the people if your deity don't look like you? So they had to make white Jesus. They had to whitewash everything. And it's enough information out here now for us all to know that truth. And if you still stuck on praying to that white Jesus, I ain't got no use for you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But, I mean, that's what has kept us so docile. That's what's kept us so weak-minded, weak-thinking. And I'm going to say this, because even the Most High has an anger. Even the Most High has a fury for evil, against evil. The Most High don't like unrighteousness. And we are his tools. And if we are to be his tools, we are to do his work. And I'm just going to say this. It's coming a time where you either going to have to shit or get off the pot. It's time for action right now. It's time for us to start a true movement and make a true effort to change the condition. Stop talking about it. Start staying together longer than the situation lasts. And that's the thing. We stay together long enough for the situation to pass, and as soon as the situation passes, we just go back to doing what we do. And in the meanwhile, the situation intensifies. The situation gets worse. And then we come back the same cycle, same cycle, same cycle. And they know this. That's why they keep doing it. Because they know we're not going to do anything different than what we have done. And that's the sad part. They know us better than we know ourselves. And we can't keep moving like we're moving and expect to make progress. And like I say, it's going to take all of us, like-minded individuals. There are 7,500, a little over 7,500 people on this page alone. We could make a difference. If each one of us just found one person that thought like we did, well, that's over 15,000 people. That would make a difference. If we take those 15,000 people, let's say, and just start putting $5 a month back individually, just think of what that could do in a three-month period. And we've got to start thinking in that manner. We've got to start thinking group economics. We've got to start thinking collectively. We've got to get on code. And look at how these white people are on code. Like I was saying, just yesterday, when I'm on my way home from Dallas, and I pull back in here in Arlington and post it up where they were posted up during the Trump final days, was over 100 white people with their Trump flags, their American flags, their MAGA hats, all out by the streets with their signs and shit. So, see, they still planning. They on code. It ain't nothing knocking them off code, and that's what we need to be. We need to be just as serious, and we need to be just as committed, dedicated, and loyal to the movement. And we got to take this, like I say, back to a basic grassroots movement where we get the real people involved and not all these old famous people out here standing up in front of microphones for us. We, the people, the little people, are the ones that need to start this movement and get it flowing, period, point blank. Ain't no other way for it to gain momentum if there are no real people involved in it. We need real people, not famous people. So I'm on 8:30, so yeah, I appreciate everybody joining in. I'm just wanted to, like I say, do a little something different as far as the radio broadcast and the going live. I do my broadcast every Monday. I probably won't go live on the page every Monday because I'm usually out on the road somewhere, but I just happened to be home today and decided I would try a little something different by going live on the page as well as doing my show live on the Blog Talk Radio Network. But I, like I say, in closing, I just want to first off say I love y'all. I appreciate y'all watching. Appreciate everybody on the Blog Talk, on the Panther Party Radio Network who listened in. I just really, you know, want change. It's about change. And like I say, I started my commentary out talking about Marvin D. Scott's situation, the Botham John, you know, dedication of the streets, the Tatiana Jefferson's trial coming up, and touched on the George Floyd situation and the trial that's happening. And, you know, these are all just so much tragedy around us. So much bloodshed, loss of life for no reason. I mean, I was listening to the opening statements earlier and really had forgot about why George Floyd was even bothered. But then, you know, listening today, and I mean, over a fake $20 bill, it shouldn't have cost him his life. He went in a store and used a phony $20 bill and had to die for that. Marvin D. Scott III, this brother having a schizophrenic episode, should have been left at the hospital so he could have been treated, but instead was released and a few hours later ends up dead. I'm just tired of the Black Death. I love my people so much that I don't want them to continue to suffer. I want us to be able to truly experience freedom and know what it feels like and not have to worry about the consistency of looking over our shoulder, worrying about, is this a good cop? Is this a good cop? Is this a bad cop? And see, those are the things that people don't understand. Those that say, oh, it's not that bad. You don't have to live that. And even as a 51-year-old Black man, when a police gets behind me, yeah, I get nervous at first, but then I like to talk shit to them. And that's just me. I'd like to challenge them and see how professional they going to be. But all at the same time, I carry. I'm not going to be a hashtag, and if I have to go to jail for the rest of my life, I'll do that. I'm not going to be no hashtag. We've got to start thinking self-defense. We've got to start thinking tomorrow. We've got to start thinking next year, 5 years, 10 years, better tomorrow for our next generations. We've got to make it better. We have got to make it better. And it's time for us to take action, plain and simple. We need each other, y'all. We need each other. I can't make it no simpler and plainer than that. And with that being said, I'm going to get off of here. I hope you all enjoy your night. I hope you all have a great and productive rest of the week. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Appreciate y'all listening. Y'all can tune back in next Monday. Panther Party Radio Network. This has been The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Seary Jr. And like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key right here and right here. I'm out. Peace, power, love.
Why does this loom to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't blame them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustrations. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American, and got sense enough to know it. I'm one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you south of the Canadian border, you're South. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. Million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you back
control two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck to the Dixiecrats. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you develop political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war.